values of our church. Getting into that in just a moment. But with the elections coming up on Tuesday, I just want to encourage you guys, this is the time where we need to be praying for our country. And no matter who is elected on the local or state or national level, I appreciate the song lyrics today that Jesus is still king and his dominion and his power is still over this country. And so we want to pray for that. And we want to just submit ourselves to him and be praying that unless Jesus were to come back and become president of the United States, okay, no one else will really do a perfect job, a great job. So we need to be praying, and we need to be doing our part in contributing to this great nation and the freedom that we have. So I'd encourage you guys to get out and vote, exercising that freedom, and then just be in prayer. Honestly, our country and our world needs it so much. And so just wanted to put that in there the next couple of days. I've seen on Facebook there's a prayer, kind of a call to prayer, I think tomorrow night at like 6 or something like that. So if you want to join the whole world, Christians everywhere, in praying, you could do that. If Sunday night works, I mean, you can pray tonight or you can pray now, okay? But let's spend time in prayer, okay? And just asking the Lord for his will to be done and praying for our nation and just for the Lord to bless and just continue to move and work. So I wanted to review our core values, our purpose, our mission, however you want to state that, what we've been doing. We've been praying about it and meeting as a board. It just helps us to define what this body of believers is going to put as the goal or our calling. And we're not just coming up with these, you know, by Googling or like, oh, what works for other churches, okay? We've spent time in prayer over this, and we feel this is the way the Lord is giving us direction as a body of believers. So we ask you to join in with us, okay? So our purpose here is to love God and to love others. That's based off of Matthew 22, when Jesus was telling them what the greatest commandments are, what's the most important thing as Christians? Well, we're to love God. That's what we discussed last week's topic, is that we love God as a church, right? We're going to be prayerful. We're going to pray to him. We're going to put him in control of our life. And to love others. So then that's kind of the outward focus, that we love everybody and all of you. And so all of our core values are going to be all of the things that we do as a church, okay, needs to fulfill this purpose. And then we kind of made a statement for our church that Bethel is a spirit-led family of believers where you will be welcome and loved. We are passionate about being transformed by the Word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about being Spirit-led today. Well, we want to be welcoming to everybody, but we also want everybody to be transformed by the gospel, by the love of God, by the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit, all of that, okay? So that we're not still baby Christians or new to the faith when we've been going to this church for 5 years or whatever it would be, okay? We want to be constantly growing and transforming, okay? All right, so everything we do is driven by these five core values. We love God, we're prayerful, we love his spirit, we are spirit-led, we love his word, we're biblically based, we love people, we want community, and we love serving. We will reach out. So we'll talk about those in the coming weeks. This week, we're going to talk about being spirit-led. And I don't have time to share the full testimony, but we've really based what we do as a church on how the early church operated in Acts chapter 2, after Jesus rose up and ascended to heaven, and he sent his Holy Spirit to empower his people, and then they started doing ministry. And how did church work back then? So we're taking some of the principles from Acts 2:42. It says they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. That's being biblically based, right? That we're going to be focused on the Bible, and we're going to be growing through his word. The verse continues, and to fellowship. That's the community part of it. To the breaking of bread would be the outreach and some more community of it, that we break bread together. We're going to break bread together in just a few minutes, okay? I can't hold on very much longer. I keep that smell of whatever that aroma is, okay? And then the last part of that verse is to prayer, okay? They were continually devoting themselves to each of these things. And so we want to do that as a church, right? And so the core value of being Spirit-led is exemplified throughout the book of Acts, throughout the New Testament. You could actually even look back in Judges and some of the other Old Testament leaders, Moses, Joshua. They were led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit would anoint them. The Holy Spirit would direct their path, and they would do the things that God wanted them to do through the direction of the Holy Spirit. We take from examples throughout Scripture of the Holy Spirit leading God's people through decisions that they need to make, through words that they need to speak, through actions that they need to take. The Holy Spirit leads through all of it. Everything we do at this church, Bethel Assembly of God, needs to be full of prayer, we talked about last week, and it needs to be Spirit-led. I found this next graphic as I was studying this week, so I stole it from another church. But just to show you, this is our goal, okay? This is our goal, that the Holy Spirit is our guide, okay? How does he guide us? Well, we live a life filled by the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Each of these little bar graphs or steps could be a whole sermon series to dive into, so study them on your own. We're not going to get into all of that, but at salvation, the Holy Spirit is with us, comes inside of us, right? And then we begin to display the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5 talks about that it should transform us and should change us to where we're showing love, joy, peace, patience, where before Christ, maybe we had a hard time showing that, okay? And have a biblical understanding of and a desire for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's the empowerment that comes to believers. It's separate from the Holy Spirit coming in us at salvation, but it's like an overflow out of us to help us to minister to others. The goal as a Christian is to tell others about Jesus. Don't just hold him to yourself, right? So the Holy Spirit helps us to minister. And then finally, to seek and operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit for the benefit of those around me, that we're edifying the church. You can see that in 1 Corinthians and other lessons from the New Testament, okay? The goal of all of it isn't to be a super Christian and say, oh, I have the Holy Spirit in me, on me, overflowing out of me, and I'm this powerful guy, okay? We need to be ministering through the power of the Holy Spirit. He'll help us to reach others with the gospel. That's what we're talking about today, is being led by the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be empowered by the Spirit. We need to overflow with the Spirit. This is a distinct difference between the Assemblies of God churches and other churches. We believe that the ministry of the Holy Spirit that we see throughout the New Testament, starting in the Acts chapter 2, but throughout the book of Acts and Corinthians and other places, that the Holy Spirit is still in work today. We receive instructions and an exhortation in Galatians chapter 5 to walk by the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, and we should live by the Spirit. Those three quotes are in that same chapter. Everything we do should be by the Holy Spirit. God has given the Holy Spirit for us to help us to live for Him. And when He calls us to do all of these things as followers of Christ, He's not watching and seeing, are you going to make it or not? I don't know. He gives this toolbox. He gives all of these things to help us to thrive as a Christian, as a follower of Christ. And in verse 8 of Galatians 5, it says, "For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." We want to sow. We want to plant seeds. We want to cultivate and nurture growth, okay? And spiritual things, not to our own desires or for our own benefit or to make us on our own succeed, whatever that would look like, okay? But we want to sow in the spiritual things to the Holy Spirit. And we do this by surrendering to God, number one, and being led by the Holy Spirit. So I have a list of five, and there's probably several more. You could probably break down some of these into multiple categories. But as a Spirit-led believer, what's that mean? It means the Holy Spirit helps us in many ways that correspond to us living the life as a Christ follower. So I've given five today. And the first one is conviction. The Holy Spirit brings conviction. That little voice growing up in the cartoons where you had an angel and a demon on your shoulders telling you to do this or do that. Okay, the Holy Spirit is the angel telling you, don't do that, don't do that. Okay, say this, don't do that, right? Okay, but before we're even saved, before we're even desiring God, the Holy Spirit is convicting us of the things that we're doing wrong, of the convicting us of we need something in life. There's got to be a God out there. The Holy Spirit draws us to the Lord. And when we yield to that and say, oh, I have sinned, I do need a Savior, hey, that's one of the main jobs of the Holy Spirit. One teaching that Jesus gave to his disciples was about him leaving them. What? Like, they didn't expect that. Like, you're going to be king and live here forever, right? And Jesus says, no, I'm going to go to heaven, but wait. Okay, so he says in John chapter 16, verse 7 and 8, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, capital H, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Before we even confess of our sins or accept Jesus as our Savior, the Holy Spirit is helping us, prompting us, pushing us. Okay, maybe you can remember the time in your life where, man, I came to a knowledge that I've sinned and I need a Savior, and Jesus is that Savior. That was the Holy Spirit bringing that conviction, okay? When we yield to that, that's being Spirit-led. After we become a Christian, He still convicts us, okay? When we are about to do something wrong, or maybe we've done something wrong and we need to repent of that, whatever that looks like, whenever on a daily basis, when the Holy Spirit will prompt us of, you should do this, maybe don't do that, okay, that's the Holy Spirit leading us through conviction. One author talked about it's not condemnation. One of the most famous verses in the Bible, John 3:16, God loved the world so much that he blah, blah, blah. But John 3:17 says, he didn't send him in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him would be saved. So the Holy Spirit isn't the one that's condemning you, that maybe you feel like, oh, I'm the worst person ever. This is not going to work out. I deserve this. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's probably the enemy or yourself. Hey, the Holy Spirit brings conviction to you of what you're doing wrong or what needs to be fixed with the goal of you making that right with the Lord and getting in that right relationship with him, okay? Next word, next thing that the Holy Spirit brings is counsel. This one covers a very wide range of benefits that the Holy Spirit brings to us. In this same teaching that I just read from in John 16, Jesus goes on to say in verse 13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears from God the Father, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. Okay? God is three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So this Jesus is saying that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you what God the Father is telling him, and they're all working together. They're all God, and we need to serve them and receive counsel from them, specifically from the Holy Spirit. This includes wisdom for decisions, understanding of Scripture, the words to say when we don't know what to say, and probably much more. This would be the category where you could say, well, he also does this, and he also does this, and then, okay, we're going to stick to these three. And James 1, verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Other verses give this promise too. I hope you pray before you make big decisions and little decisions too. The Holy Spirit will help you in those moments. Don't wait till the moment of the decision has to be made. Like, oh, what do I do? Holy Spirit, help me. Okay, but leading up to it, pray and spend time asking the Lord for wisdom and direction. Okay, the Holy Spirit will lead you through the decision-making process. When things are weighing heavy on your mind, bring them to the Lord. There are times in my life that I wish an answer was very easy to see. Just as clear as, you know, you're driving on the highway and the bright, you know, signs are telling you or warning you of this or that. I wish it was that easy, but it's not always like that, okay? But the more we know the Lord, the more we recognize his voice. Okay? Jesus illustrates it kind of like a shepherd and his sheep. Hey, we're the sheep, and God is the shepherd. And he says the sheep know his voice and follow him. Okay? If you're having trouble hearing God's voice, pray more. Spend time with him more. That's what how we would recognize the voice of parents or shepherds, right? We're around them and we recognize and we know their voice. We'll know the voice of God the more we spend time praying and seeking him. The Holy Spirit helps us understand the Bible. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. People throughout the world who don't don't believe in God, or they're not seeking even to know him in a genuine way, they're going to have trouble understanding the deep truths of the Word of God. To the natural man, Paul writes, these spiritual truths are foolishness. I would say if you're sitting in this service today, okay, you have a genuine desire to know God more. He's not going to hold back from you. The Holy Spirit will reveal these deep truths to you. Just as the Spirit guided the writers of the Scripture to record the truth, right? His hand was inspiring the authors of each of these books. As we're reading it, the Holy Spirit is going to inspire, is going to help us, is going to make it clear to us to understand the truth of what was written. Okay? There's some practical advice for you. Don't just walk into your living room or whatever, wherever you would be, and open the Bible. Okay, I better read. Pastor says I should read, so I'm going to start reading. And just pick a verse, okay? Pray. Take a moment. Pause. Okay, Lord, I'm going to open your word today. And sometimes it's confusing for me. So I'm just asking the Holy Spirit, would you come and reveal the truth of it to me? Help me to understand it. I'm a little slow and stubborn, and I need you to just knock it upside. No, don't say that. But the Holy Spirit will help you as you're reading his word. God wants you to read his word, and he wants you to understand it. So he's going to help you through it. Next week, we're going to talk about how we're biblically based. The Bible is crucial for any church, right? So we'll talk about that a little bit more next week. The last part of how the Holy Spirit brings counsel is concerning the ways the Holy Spirit gives us the words to say. Two different verses come to mind that are kind of two totally different circumstances, but the same truth that God gives us when we don't have or know the words to say, God will speak those to us. In Luke 12, verse 11, Jesus is warning the believers that when they bring you before the synagogue and the rulers and the authorities, do not worry about how or what you are to speak, or in your defense, or what you are to say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. That's an extreme end of it, that when you're persecuted and they arrest you for being a Christian and going to church and they put you before the authorities, don't worry about how you're going to defend yourself. The Holy Spirit will speak through to you. Romans 8:26 says, in the same way, the Holy Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Holy Spirit himself intercedes for us. That's a powerful truth. Jesus prays for you. The Holy Spirit prays for you. He intercedes with groanings that are too deep for words. The Holy Spirit helps you to pray. How many of you raise your hand and say, I don't know how to pray? I need help praying. If I were to call you up like I asked Kent the other day, would you come up after worship and pray? How many of you would tell me no? I don't pray on the stage. Whoa, no, can't do that, okay? But the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. Even when we have a need someone asks us to pray for, I don't know how I should pray, but I need to pray. So the Holy Spirit helps us to do that. So those are two extreme scenarios, but everything in the middle, okay? I've had a lot of times where people will come and ask for help, or there needs to be a conversation, or the word that comes to mind is confrontation. We don't confront a lot of difficult things, but I have in the past in church ministry, and I ask the Holy Spirit to help me to know what to say, when your coworker or a family member is asking you about God and I don't know, I'm not very good at this. I'm not sure. Okay, just pause, relax, take a deep breath. But ask the Lord, ask the Holy Spirit to help you to know how to respond and what to say. Okay, and He will be there for you. The next one is comfort. The Holy Spirit is a comforter. John 14:26 says, "But the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." Okay? So when we're studying the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will help bring into remembrance the things, and you would say, I just don't know the Bible very well. Well, read it, and God will help you. The Holy Spirit will help you bring into memory what you need in different situations. The word comforter is a title given to the Holy Spirit in this verse. Also means helper, advocate, counselor. Any of those in your translation of the Bible are accurate. This category of comfort the Holy Spirit brings to us is on the emotional part of life, okay? When we're grieving, the Holy Spirit comforts us. When we're stressed out, the Holy Spirit calms us. When we're full of anxiety or panic, He settles us. When we're weak, He strengthens us. God is our comfort through the Holy Spirit. He's our helper, our advocate, our counselor. Okay, next one. These next two maybe aren't as, if I were to ask you off the top of your head, you could have probably listed most of what we'd already talked about. But these last two, not as known, I guess. But the Holy Spirit compels. The Apostle Paul used this word to describe how the Holy Spirit would direct his life, his ministry, the decisions that he would make, In Acts 20, verse 22, he simply says, and he's giving his directions or his plans, he says, "And now, compelled by the Holy Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem." Throughout the book of Acts, specifically in chapter 16 and other books of the New Testament, we see other phrases that would be similar to this, okay, that showed that people were in tune with the Holy Spirit prompting. And I just feel this, that I need to go here. Or Paul would speak of a vision that he had, and in this vision, a person asked him to come to Macedonia. Is that a super powerful, anointed vision? Like, I just had a dream, and the guy asked me to come to Macedonia. Well, yeah, it's powerful, and Paul took it to say, that's the Holy Spirit telling me now I should go to this area, okay? And the other believers and throughout history, God would use this compulsion or this compelling to move his people. The Holy Spirit compels us to get out of our comfort zones. Amen? Okay. This compelling often comes to me personally as a burden on my heart. I'll be praying or I'll be doing something. I could even be in Walmart. I don't know. And then this just heavy weight comes on my stomach, and I can't shake it, or on my soul, my spirit. I can't get this off of my mind. What are you saying? What do you want me to do, God? I don't want to take the time to go into a longer story about this, but in ministry, I have burdens for the places where I'm supposed to go, okay? When I was in, I wish I had time for the longer story, but when I was in Williston, there was a time that I didn't want to be there, okay? But the burden was on my heart. I was trying to get out. It was my In Jonah's world, I was trying to go to Joppa, and God wanted to be me to be in Nineveh or wherever that worked for him. Okay, I was applying at schools to be a custodian and leave the state. Like, I was trying everything, but the burden was there, and God was saying, just wait, I need you here, okay? And then after a while, things kind of got better, and I didn't want to go. And I was like, oh, you know, maybe this is going to work out. This is going to be good. But I still had the burden for that place. And pretty soon, there's this, you know, I call it kind of a release of like, oh, now it's okay to go. It's going to be okay. And that burden is kind of lifted of like, I still care about, you know, that church or that town, but I just feel like, oh, it's okay to go. And wouldn't you know it, when that happened, then I get a phone call from Kent Agusius at Carrington, North Dakota, asking about this church. And I'd already heard Pastor Dave Shostrom, that was interim here, was interim in Williston. And so this church comes to mind. And as I go through the process of, you know, interviewing and all that kind of stuff, that burden changed, and the burden came for this place. And I was kind of released from the Williston place. And so now I felt like this is where I need to be. This is the burden that's on my heart. And so those are powerful, you know, those are big decisions that have to be made, but the Holy Spirit helps us to know, and he compels us to go. I didn't just shoot a dart and it landed on Carrington. And Carrington, really? I was hoping for Hawaii, right? No, okay. I didn't do that, okay? I tried other places to go, and those doors would shut, or I would get denied, whatever would happen. God has a plan and a purpose, and he compels us to go. The Holy Spirit compels us. I get the same feelings in decisions that we make on a day-to-day basis. What's the right thing I should do in this case? Help me, Holy Spirit. And like, something will come to my mind, and I go, okay, is that the pizza I ate last night, or is that, you know, you, God? And, you know, through prayer, God will help you, and the Holy Spirit leads you in that way, okay? The Holy Spirit is going to compel you. I want to say we're almost done here. I just have only 5 more pages on my note. No, just kidding. We're almost done. But as I was praying and preparing in this season of these, you know, putting out these core values and what is our church, we love missions. Missions and outreach ministry is vital to us. And as I've talked to different missionaries, I really feel like there's some in this body of believers that God's going to call to the mission field to do ministry. Okay, it's going to stretch you and push you out of your comfort zone, however that looks. It's not always being a pastor or a missionary in Africa. There's a lot of different ways that God calls us to serve him. And we need to be open to his compelling, okay? When God puts a burden on your heart, don't slam that door shut. I would never do that, okay? Just a side note, don't ever tell God, I would never do that, blank, because you'll do that. last one is that God, the Holy Spirit, equips or empowers. I couldn't come up with a word that starts with a C, so I messed up my whole, you know, whatever you call that, English teachers. But the Holy Spirit calls us, instructs us, commands us to serve the Lord and telling others about Jesus. But again, he equips you to do so. Acts 1:8, Jesus tells the disciples, wait for the Holy Spirit, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth. God doesn't just call us to change the world. He empowers us to do so. And another verse that gives this promise is 2 Corinthians 9:8, that God is able to make all grace abound to you. Okay? So that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, are you catching that? Okay. You may abound in every good work. Everything that God calls you to do, His grace will be sufficient for you. Worship team, if you would come this morning. It's a core value of this church that we will be led by the Spirit in everything we do. Each of you make up the church, make up the body of believers. So I'm calling you, challenging you to take this to heart and be led in your personal life by the Spirit. As we're each led by the Holy Spirit, this body of believers will operate under the leading of the Holy Spirit. Where you go is not as important as who you go with. We want to go with the Holy Spirit. Okay? I don't want this to be my church and I lead you where I want us to go and you say, oh, I follow Pastor Kevin, whatever he said. No, no. I pastor, I shepherd this church, but I'm leading you as we follow the Lord, as we follow the Holy Spirit. Christ leads us. We don't lean on our own understanding. I've tried that. It doesn't always go well. Don't rely on your own wisdom. Would you stand with me today? Don't try to live as a follower of Christ on your own strength when God is saying, I have all of this equipment for you. I have all of this help for you. You don't have to do it on your own, okay? A Spirit-led believer relies more on the Holy Spirit than his or her own wisdom. I'm going to ask us to do something a little bit different today. It might stretch you some, but I know a lot of you through the past couple months or years, I've been here even, and I know God is stirring in your heart. You'll come to me and you'll say, wow, that message just hit me, right? I don't know how you know what I'm going through. That's the Holy Spirit. That's not me. It's God speaking to you, and He's stirring in your heart that there's more to the faith that you have. There's more in this life. And God is calling you. He's prompting you. It's the Holy Spirit convicting you that there's more. I need more of you, God. I know a lot of you have been Christians for a long time, and you have a deep faith in God. I'm going to ask all of those that fall into either of those categories. God is stirring in your heart for more. God is pushing and prompting, convicting you that there's more and I need it. That's the Holy Spirit that you need. And those who have deep faith, we need the Holy Spirit. Would you come by example today? I'm going to ask you as we close in song that you would come up to the front. We have the spots across the front. You can kneel and pray. If you can't kneel, if you could just stand, you can kneel at the chairs up here. We need to seek the Holy Spirit for us to be led by the Spirit, for you to be led by the Spirit, for this church to be led by the Spirit. We need to seek the Spirit. We need to seek the Lord more. So as the worship team sings, I'm going to ask you to move forward. If the God is stirring in your heart, this is what you need. You need the Holy Spirit. You need more of Him. I was challenged by a quote from Francis Chan, author of Forgotten God. No matter what religious tradition you come from, you likely carry baggage and harbor stereotypes when it comes to the Holy Spirit. It's going to require laying aside your baggage and stereotypes so you can be open to what God wants to teach you. Are you willing to do that? Come forward. We'll just spend the last, like, just five more minutes. We're just going to pray and seek the Lord. So come forward and worship team, go ahead and sing. I might pray through the microphone to help kind of the